Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 220. Big weekend coming up here in Portugal, in both Lisbon and Porto. First off, we got the big election this weekend taking place in Porto between Pinto da Costa and Andres Villas-Boas. Who will Pinto da Costa continue? He's been there 42 years. Will he get the opportunity to add more years? Or will Andres Villas-Boas come across and become the first Porto president in more than 42 years? The new president, that is. I'll talk about that in a few minutes because there are a lot of ramifications for that result. We saw a pretty ugly weekend. In match day 30, we saw some fan invasion in the Chaves-Estoril match that could have an effect now on the relegation race. We also saw Benfica, even though they beat Feirense on Monday, walk off the pitch and a lot of their fans showing their frustration, even though they're currently sitting in second place. I'll talk about that in a minute. And Ruben Amorim said about a week ago, he didn't want to talk about him and any other clubs and deals and this and that. And then on Tuesday, when the team had a day off, he flew to London. And from all reports, he spoke to West Ham. There's a lot of stories to talk about this, and I'll give you my latest thoughts. And let me also say, to be fair, a lot of what I've been saying so far has come true. I'm not necessarily saying predicting where he's going to play, but I think I've been close to right on exactly how this has been playing out, and it's been playing out exactly as I thought, so I'll talk about that. We'll have first and second division report. We got a Clásico this weekend. Porto at home to Sporting. Sporting could win the Liga as soon as this weekend, but they need a few things to go their way. We got a women's football report. They have now know the two teams for the cup final on May the 18th. Big Four report. Could we be seeing Liga matches coming to the United States? Perhaps in 2026, 2027. Spain's La Liga is trying to do it in 2025, 2026. And you know if they do it, eventually the Portuguese will take an interest. I'll talk about that in a minute. This will be the first place that you'll hear about this. And then, of course, I'll do my Big Four report. And then I have a great thing to wrap up. My favorite club in Portugal being promoted now, as you know, to the fourth tier. And I got a great mailbag about that. And I'll be talking about that coming up here in a few minutes. But let me just first off talk about really the big story this weekend in Portugal. I know there is a Sporting Porto. I know Sporting potentially has the opportunity, especially if Benfica wins and if Benfica loses and Sporting win, there's a chance that the title could be decided as soon as this weekend. I get that we have a lot of stuff going on, but to me this weekend, the story is going to be the FC Porto election. And the reason is because, if you've heard this podcast in the past, Pinto da Costa, president for 42 years, most recently these years when he's run for re-election, especially the last one, I think he won it with like 79% of the vote, he's had very, very, he's not had it very tough being re-elected. I don't think in the 42 years he's had maybe one or two tough elections. He has been strongly in command of this club. But now Andres Villas-Boas comes along. The club has been having some financial difficulties. They have won a lot with Sergio Conceição. But Porto Nation is still a little bit frustrated, especially with the results this season. Right now, Porto can only play for one title, one cup, and that's the Domestic Cup, Taça de Portugal, coming up here in late May. They'll be playing Sporting. That is their only chance to win a cup. And in Porto world, that is unacceptable, especially because right now they're battling to stay in third place. And that is not something that Porto is used to. But it's been a very interesting week because we've seen, in my opinion, in all my years of doing Portuguese soccer, 25 years, Pinto da Costa really worked hard this week to really paint a picture that Villas-Boas is not the best guy for the job and that he continues to be. And anything that Villas-Boas was saying, he would go on TV and dispute it. But this is a massive, massive thing because there are a lot of people in Portugal, especially Benfica and Sporting fans, that would love to see Pinto da Costa go. He has won several European trophies. He's won a whole host of trophies, created the, part of building this new stadium for Euro 2004, the Dragon. They've got a museum filled with trophies. there's a lot of positives to Porto with Pinto da Costa. But these last few years, the club has had some financial issues. Some people say it's really bad, but we're really not going to know how bad it is. And let me tell you, if Villas-Boas wins this weekend, by the time his accountants get to check out all the financials, we'll probably know in about 2 to 3 weeks, if he wins, perhaps how much of a challenge the financial situations are. I remember, you know, many years ago, Porto was very strong. They were going to the Champions League far. They were making money, but they have still wound up having very, very big problems. So that is really the story this weekend. Both of them finished their campaigning this week. The election is going to be coming up on Saturday. All of them in front of major crowds. And what's interesting, per a report I read last week, is that there's something like 70,000 socios for Porto, but only 40,000 of them are up to date on their socios membership, their dues. So apparently only something like 40-something thousand are eligible to vote in this weekend's election. And mind you, in some of the campaign things that Villas-Boas and Pinto da Costa did, especially Villas-Boas, he had something like close to 5,000 at Superbac Arena in Porto out of 40,000 that were there to support him. So this is a race where, for the first time, Pinto da Costa is battling for his presidential life. This is an opportunity for Villas-Boas to shake the foundation of Porto and probably make a lot of people happy in Portugal to see someone like Pinto da Costa, who is, look, the media love him. He's great for sound bites. He's very sarcastic. He's very witty. It's the type of things that media love to get and put on television or radio or print. And but there are people at Porto, in the city of Porto, who are diehard for him that feel like he should not leave with the loss, and then within 24 hours, he's no longer involved with this club. And please hand in your security key and no more Tribune or whatever it is, however these things work out, because it will happen fast, the turnover, the changeover to Villas-Boas, if past history is any indicator of what I've seen from other clubs. But there are a lot of people in Porto that are going to be very angry if he loses, not because they're going to be angry because, one, they don't want him to lose, but they're going to be angry because they don't feel he deserves this fate. That for what he's done for 42 years, his bulk of work, he does not deserve to leave in the fashion of losing an election and then immediately being treated like an employee that's been told, that's it, you're done here, you have 24 hours to leave. People don't want to see that. They just do not want to see that. Some people feel like that Pinto da Costa should have retired or announced that he would retire. He should have advocated for someone else to run for president in his place, and he should have left on a high, which is a high that he is beloved in up north. He will forever be one of the major symbols of Porto, and people felt that's the way he should go, and that he should not go if he loses an election and leave by the way of the door instead of leaving with a tremendous praise from the crowd, so to speak. Would Villas-Boas invite him back and honor him? Probably, but will, of course, Pinto da Costa say yes? The way they've been going at each other in the press isn't good. So, and by the way, just to give an example of how much Pinto da Costa has been pushing it, he announced Conceição's renewal this week. A lot of people found the timing of that interesting. Under the condition that Conceição will only stay, or he or the club have an option to get out of the deal if Pinto da Costa do not win. And that sets it up to for a very interesting, you don't usually see those type of what-if scenarios with deals. So, look, there's a lot of things I can talk about. I know some of you want to hear about Ruben Amorim. I got to talk about the Cestril Chaves problem. Massive election this weekend in Porto. Will we see new leadership? Will we see the old continue? I got to be honest with you, I don't really know who's going to win. I think Villas-Boas is going to make a big run. I think possibly Pinto da Costa wins by a narrow margin. But this is going to go on all day Saturday. I wouldn't be surprised if it runs late into the night on Saturday night. Elections tend to end very late. And we could have a massive night of either happiness. Someone is going to be happy and someone is going to be very angry. Very angry on Saturday night, late Sunday morning in Porto, depending on what happens with this result. I really can't call it, but if I had to call it, I think Pinto da Costa probably pulls it out because of the people. You know, sometimes the safest thing is to go with what you know, and people know Pinto da Costa. And probably people don't want Villas-Boas there because they're scared to find out what other problems did the club have that nobody knew about. And there are a lot of people that are maybe scared of that as well. So massive election. If you're voting, would love to get an email from you. explaining the experience of how it went. That would be a lot of fun too. So that's the story with that. Also news in Portugal. Last week, a very ugly Estoril Praia was playing at Desportivo dos Chaves. And then toward the end of the second half, a fan invaded the pitch, got into it one of the players. Eventually, more fans invaded the pitch. Two Chaves players for getting involved. One of them, I think he sort of like kicked the player or pushed them. Pushed the fans. It's a whole thing. Both of the players were sent off. Later on, Chaves comes back to level the match. And as a result, now we have a situation where Estoril Praia feels the match should have been ended and suspended at the moment that the fans invaded the pitch. Chaves says no, it was eventually under control. The six fans went to the tribunal. They were detained. They have been barred from going to any sporting events until the court cases happen. But the concern is that if Estoril, and they're going to do what's in the best interest of their club, pushes the issue, because of the fact that, you know, right now Estoril, you know, they sit in 14th place and they are only 2 points above Portimonense in the playoff spot. So if something were to go wrong for Estoril Praia and they, let's say, lost this point and they say, you know, oh, let's put it this way. They feel they won. They should have had 3 points, which means that right now they would have been sitting with 32 points instead of 30. And they lose those 2 points, and eventually they do get forced to either get relegated or play the playoff. That's going to set in motion a lot of problems in Portugal. We've seen it happen many times when clubs accuse other clubs of not being up to par with wages and financials, and it becomes a whole thing in the offseason. I think last year we even had a draw where we didn't know which one of the clubs in the second division was going to be in until they resolved some issues. It could get very ugly because this is the first division. And, you know, the first division, by the way, you know, you look at a club like Casa Pia, 32 points. And then you look at a club like Portimonense sitting in the playoff place of 16 points with 28. They're separated by 4 points with 4 matches left and 12 points to play for. Casa Pia, Ferenc, Rio Ave, Gil Vicente, Boa Vista, Estoril Praia, Estrela Amadora, and Portimonense, okay, are still not out of danger. And Chaves with 23 and Vizela with 21, it's not looking good for them. They look like they're both going to be relegated to the second division. So the question is who gets stuck at 16th place to play the third place team from the second division? That's going to be the very, very big question that I think a lot of people are going to be asking this weekend. But a lot of disappointment and a lot of anger about the fan pitch evasion, and potentially that could mess up with the table, the finalization of the table standings and who gets up and who goes down. That could be affected later on. Moving on, talking about the Ruben Amorim situation, and let me just say a few things. I have talked about this extensively the previous, I think, two episodes, 218 and 219, if you want to go check it out. But here's the thing. I said we don't know the story of what's really going on. The only people that know are the player slash manager, the club president and sports director, and the agent. Those are generally the only people that truly know what's going on. And I had said that there is no way in the world that Liverpool is just concentrating on Ruben Amorim. This is a mega club, one of the biggest in the world, owned by the Fenway Group, one of the biggest conglomerates in the world of sports. They own the Red Sox. I think even LeBron James has a percentage in it. This is a big-time company. They are not going to spend their month of April just concentrating on one coach, their manager. They're going to look at a few. Was Ruben Amorim, per reports, there was interest, but apparently it has cooled off. All of a sudden, after Ruben Amorim about a week ago says that there will be no deals, that he's only concentrating on the championship, all that stuff, he then boards a flight. CNN Portugal captures video and photos of him boarding a private plane. Reports are that it was owned by West Ham. He goes to London for a quick trip. And next thing you know, West Ham is in the picture. And all of a sudden, Liverpool isn't in the picture. A lot of media tweeted out, including myself, we took a lot of abuse. And then guess what happened? It was true. He did, in fact, go to London once CNN Portugal showed those photos. Then he went to London. Reports are that he met with West Ham and wasn't impressed. There's other reports that say that West Ham didn't like what Ruben Amorim was asking for. And then there was another report from Bruno Andrade saying that basically they did this West Ham meeting to put pressure on Liverpool, and then Liverpool apparently retaliated the next day and started saying that Ruben Amorim, the interest wasn't there anymore, and that they were going to go after this manager in Holland, which according to when I dropped this episode here for Friday, apparently could be true that they might be in line to hire a manager from the Dutch league. But what I said throughout this whole thing, and I make it clear, is that I said that I'm sure Liverpool had other choices, and apparently that seems to be the case if they're getting close to a potential deal with this manager from one of the Dutch teams. I think it's, I can't remember which team it is off the top of my head. But in Ruben Amorim, he says it's not a topic for him. He tries to get people to stop talking about it. And then the next thing you know, he hops on a plane to go to London. And that doesn't make it look good. And when he comes out for his press conference on Saturday, talking about the Clásico on Sunday, he's going to be asked, and I'm curious to see what he's going to say, considering that a week ago, he was trying to brush off that there was no deal, that there was no conversations. And all of a sudden, a week later, he basically does the opposite. I mean, look, it was probably true the time he said it. There was nothing. Things changed. His agent probably said, look, we need to get on a plane to London. There could be an opportunity there. We should talk to West Ham and let Liverpool know that we're talking to try to put some pressure on them. But I think that that's a bad move because this is Liverpool. Liverpool's not going to have a hard time finding a great manager. Maybe you do that in Portugal if you're a small club to another small club and you're trying to go after a good young manager. Maybe you put pressure. A club like Liverpool, I don't think, is going to be intimidated very much. So apparently the story, as I drop this episode, and I'm sure there's going to be more, is that he wasn't impressed with West Ham. They apparently weren't impressed with him. And if reports are to be believed, and who knows what the story will be next week, is that there's nothing going on. And then the press, believe it or not, they're even starting to talk about, will Ruben Amorim stay next year with this club? We shall see. I will say, though, that West Ham, I feel more comfortable him going to West Ham. Look, West Ham financially is much stronger than Sporting. They just are. They play in the Premier League. They have a lot more money. But are they the pedigree of a big European club? I think Sporting is much bigger, with all due respect to West Ham fans. They just are. This is a club that competes in the Champions League every few years. They compete in the Europa League. But Sporting has been in the Champions League quite a bit, and West Ham can't say that too often because of the tough league that they're in. But I think West Ham would be in a good opportunity for Ruben. I think it would be a much better fit, in my opinion, going to that club, which, according to all the sizes in the Premier League, they're a modest-sized club. And I saw, by the way, some, you know, again, when you talk about these unofficial fan accounts, I think it was one of the accounts for West Ham saying that people in Portugal were criticizing Ruben Amorim for going, considering West Ham and taking the money and going to a club that's much smaller than Sporting. I never saw any of that in Portugal. I don't know where this unofficial media, and I guess that's why they call it unofficial media. I mean, let's be honest with you, a lot of the unofficial media are only reporting what the real media are reporting. You can certainly say that's the case as well sometimes with PortugueseSoccer.com. A lot of the exclusivities come from the real media. But I didn't see that. I'm not really sure. I had West Ham fans reach out to me about that. I don't recall Sporting fans complaining about him going to West Ham. I just don't know where you got that from. So if you're calling to get that answer, I don't have an answer for you because I don't remember that being a big issue in Portugal. But that's the story with Ruben Amorim. And I'm sure next week we'll have another story about Ruben Amorim because it seems to change every other day. Big weekend in Portugal, of course, like we said, amidst all the news, we have a Clásico on Saturday. That is the big one coming up at 20:30. And by the way, you know, I talk a lot of times about RTP International Portugal. They do not show Benfica home games. They definitely don't show the matchups between the big three. So let me check to see this weekend who RT. And by the way, credit out to RTP International. They've been showing women's football as well. They showed one of the semifinals of the Cup match last week, and I congratulate them for doing that. But I'm looking at this weekend. Well, what is? And let me. I'm looking at this right now. What is RTP International going to show this weekend? And they are showing Hey, check this out. I have never seen this before. I've seen the big three, you know, one of them play once a week. I've seen Braga be the fourth choice. This weekend's match in RTP International, Vitória Guimarães against Boa Vista. It's the first time that I've seen Boa Vista be the lead match of the week in RTP International. So I just have to say that because That happens. Excuse me. That hasn't happened in a very long time. But everything gets going on Friday. Gil Vicente at home to Arouca. Sixth place Arouca having a fantastic season. We've got four matches on Saturday. Benfica Braga is a great match. A lot of pressure on Roger Schmidt. A lot of people are not happy with him. We saw what happened after the Feirense match. A lot of fans expressing their absolute disgust with the crowd's overall performance this season, even though they are still in second place. Braga's playing for third place. They are in a third place tie with Porto, and they've not had some success or as much as they would like at Benfica. Braga sometimes struggles in Lisbon, so that is a very big match. And then the RTP match that I just spoke about. Guimarães, their president still hopes to climb the table, but right now they're in fifth place and good for the Europa Conference League with 57 points. Boavista will be traveling to play Vitória Guimarães. Then we've got three matches on Sunday. Portimonense, Moreirense, Estoril Praia, Famalicão, and then the big one, Porto, Sporting. If Sporting wins and Benfica loses on Saturday, then Sporting will be the champions. If Benfica win, then, and let's say Sporting win or draw, it doesn't mean anything for them. They'll have to wait for the following weekend. But we've only got four match days left, and it's getting very, very close with Sporting having a seven-point lead. And then everything wraps up on Monday with the Estrela Amadora at home to Feirense. My predictions, the best matches this weekend, look, it's pretty obvious, Benfica, Braga, Porto, Sporting. Benfica needs to play to keep the fans happy because right now they are not very happy. Braga needs to win because they want to finish in third place again after they did that last year, forcing Sporting to fourth place. And then, of course, we've got Porto and Sporting. Porto playing for pride. And who will be in the tribune? Will it be President Pinto da Costa or will it be President Andres Villas-Boas on Sunday night? I'm very curious to see what happens there. And then, of course, Sporting looking to get ever so closer to their fourth title in 2 years. We will see what happens with that. That's going to be a lot of fun on Sunday. Moving along to second division football, which started, by the way, early this week. We had a match on Thursday, Leiria at home to Penafiel. Penafiel recording the big 2-1 win, which for Penafiel gives them 38 points and gives them probably at this point tranquility to know that they'll be returning to the second division, finishing a little bit above the top. You got three matches on Saturday, four matches on Sunday, and then they don't play again until next Tuesday with Pastos de Ferreira AVS. Santa Clara in first place with 63 points with four matches left. Nacional won last week. AVS didn't. As a result, Nacional now jumps into second place in the promotion spot. And AVS, which has been slipping lately, they drop into third place. But Nacional and AVS, though, are tied with 59 points. Marítimo still has a shot at third place. Or second place, they are only 5 points behind Nacional and AVS. But again, there's only four matches left and 12 points to play for. Most interesting matches this weekend, FC Porto B, Santa Clara. FC Porto B just beat AVS, so Santa Clara is going to have a very tough one right there. Nacional is going to be traveling to the Restelo in Lisbon in Belenenses to take on Belenenses in Belém. That's a very, very good match. And let's see what else we have here. AVS doesn't play until next Tuesday. AVS playing with these midweek matches. I don't know what that's about. And they'll be playing Pasos de Ferreira. And again, Santa Clara Nacional, AVS in control so far in the second division. Women's football, I had mentioned last week that it was going to be a cup final. And actually, I was correct. It was the cup, but it wasn't the final. It was actually the semifinals. Last week, Benfica beat Sporting to advance to the Portuguese Women's Cup final. And Racing Power FC, I just love saying those words. It's just such not, it's really not so much a Portuguese words that you use here, but it's just funny. Racing Power FC, I say that's with respect, of course. They beat Braga, upset Braga. So the cup final on May the 18th will be between Benfica and Racing Power FC. How about that? Congratulations to Racing Power FC for making it to the women's final. I think that's very good. And with regards to women's football, Liga returns this weekend, match day 20. We are getting very close to the end of the season. I think there's only like three match days left. Benfica's at home to last place Villaverdense. Been very tough for Villaverdense, both for the men in the second division and now the women in the first division. They are both in relegation phase for the beautiful club from Vila Verde, great wine. But they've got to go play the first place team, so that's going to be tough. Marítimo versus Marítimo, sitting in sixth place, will be hosting Sporting, which is, of course, Benfica 47, Sporting 45. Very tough match for Sporting to go to Madeira to take on Marítimo. And those are the two very big matches this weekend in Portuguese women's football. Things are getting very interesting with three match days left. Player Abroad report. One story that came through this week that really interested me was the special one. José Mourinho apparently was approached for the Canadian national team job, if reports are to be believed, and he declined it. And I got to tell you something. You know, Mourinho's done everything in Europe. I know he wants to coach the Seleção one day, but you know what? You coach in North America. Canada had a tremendous World Cup qualifying campaign. We obviously know they went to the first World Cup since, I think, 1982. But it is a growing country, not just in soccer. The basketball team is going to compete in the Olympics. But I tell you what, Amorim, North America, a lot of coverage in the States and in Canada. I think Amorim would have had a lot of fun with this one. But this also goes to show you that, you know, even though he said like 2 weeks ago, would you consider managing in Portugal? And he said, well, as a manager, you always consider, you leave your door open to any opportunities. It just goes to show you that sometimes that's not entirely true, that he is still looking for big opportunities. Because I'll be honest with you, I think this would have been a great opportunity for him to go manage a team that would have been one of the favorites to qualify for the World Cup, which is going to be in Canada. It would have opened them up to the North American media market. His brand would have grown. I think he had a nice, I mean, look, I get it's not a big opportunity, but I think it would have been a lot of fun for him. And I think he would have enjoyed being in Canada and Toronto. A lot of Portuguese in Toronto, as we know. I think he would have liked that. Arthur Jorge, the former Braga manager, has now won three matches in a row with Botafogo. So he's starting to do well. Sad news about Diego Jota. He is injured. Looks like he's going to be out for 2 weeks, and it makes you worry about his health for being available for Europe because he continues to get injured a lot. Bruno Fernandes, big week with a brace and assist in the United win. He is kicking on all gears, which is what you want to see before the Euro. JJ, Jorge Jesus, one of my favorite managers. I know some of you don't like him. Lost his semifinal of the Asian Champions League. Big disappointment considering they won something like 35 matches in a row overall. They were obviously expecting to make it to the final of this regional competition. Well, that's not going to happen. One other thing I wanted to say, by the way, going to Liga. The Liga basically approved a rule this year that said that if clubs don't pay their players and they go into issues, that clubs could be punished. We've already seen Villarreal docked a few points. But it used to be 2 to 5 points you would lose. Now they've approved 5 to 8 points. And let me tell you, you get docked 8 points, you're probably going to be relegated. So that was a new rule that came out this week with the Liga. And let me also say, La Liga apparently wants to come play matches, official La Liga matches, in the United States in 2025, 2026. What happened is there's a big company called Relevant Sports that wanted to host these matches, if I heard correctly. It was a big story on The Athletic. Apparently, FIFA doesn't allow you to play domestic competitions, Liga that is, maybe not necessarily the Super Cups, abroad. And this company took FIFA to court. Apparently, they have agreed that FIFA won't be sued, which opens up the opportunity for matches from other countries to come to the States. And by the way, a lot of people don't like this, but you know what? Very popular, despite whatever the perceptions people have. Football in America, soccer in America, whatever word you want to use, is very popular. You bring a real match, it is going to sell out. They were trying to bring, I think, a Getafe Barcelona match, was it, to Miami a few years ago, and that's what led to going to the courts. But if this happens and they start bringing matches from Europe to the USA, you could almost guarantee that the Liga in Portugal will do the same thing. They would have to do it in the Northeast. They would probably have to do it in September, October, when it's a little bit warmer in the Northeast. But if you start to see La Liga matches in the United States, Liga BetClic in Portugal will not be too far behind. I guarantee you. Remember this episode 220. This is going to happen. I guarantee it. A few other news before I get to my mailbag. Big week for Chico Conceição renewing. Staying with Porto. His deal was extended. Basically Porto buys the $10 million purchase option to keep him after a number of matches that he had played, and Chico will continue, and he signed the deal until 2029. Sporting still looking at Anderlecht defender De Bast. We saw also Benfica being linked with a Spanish player called Mark Pubil. You're going to start to see this pick up now. The agents are going to call the newspapers. The newspapers are going to make big deals of this. And in the next few weeks, you'll start to see more and more players being connected to Portuguese clubs. Let me wrap it up here with my mailbag. And I'm going to combine it like I always do, talking about my favorite club in Portugal, Athletic dos Arcos. And let me also say that outside of questions about the big three or one of our younger players, it has been an incredible honor for me to also receive sometimes questions about Arcos de Valves or my club. And I want to say thank you. And I got a great email this week that I'm going to read to you. But let me just say a few things. So last week, Athletic dos Arcos won at home 3-1. They played a club called Deu Crist, who gave them the guard of honor for winning the division. I thought that was very nice by Deu Crist. And again, my club has been promoted to the fourth tier. I've been waiting for this for a long time because we've had a few close calls losing the playoffs. But this year, there was no need for the playoffs after we finished tied with another club. This year, we have a six-point lead. There's only one match left. It all ends this weekend in the districts. That's right. They end at the end of April. And I cannot wait next year to be following my club. Athletic dos Arcos will finish up the season. They're going to be playing a club called Corinthians, which is going to look like they're going to finish in tenth place. But next year, we're going to be going to the fourth tier to play some clubs that used to be in the first division, but mostly clubs that tend to stay either in the second, third, or fourth division because of their resources. And this week, we finished the season, and it's going to be a lot of fun over the course of the next 2 months following the type of players they may sign and things of that nature. Let me read you an email. It's basically titled, I received it. Thank you so much. Let me read it to you. And this, by the way, comes from Andrew Gomes. Don't know where you're from, Andrew, but thank you for writing. Thank you for your support and listening. Actually, hold on. That's actually what I said. Dear host of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast, I would like to extend my thanks and gratitude for the content that you put out for the sport we all hold deep in our hearts. This has been the best source I have found that delivers all the news needed for Portuguese soccer, especially when it comes to the lower leagues. As someone whose father hails from Arcos de Valves, I knew that once upon a time the team was representing the town, but I had thought it had dissolved for the sheer fact that I couldn't find any recent reports on them. For that reason, the news last week about Athletic dos Arcos' promotion from the 5th Division to the 4th Division was extremely uplifting and endearing to hear. Without this show, not only would I have not known about the promotion, but I would have thought the team was lost in history. For that reason, I would like to extend my sincerest thanks and gratitude. If you are aware of how I will be able to follow Athletico, please let me know. Keep up the amazing work. Best regards, Andrew Gomes. Andrew Gomes, um abraço. Thank you so much for your great email. So a few things. I already emailed you with the answers. Didn't want you to have to wait, but I'm going to tell the audience. Unfortunately, this is a club in the fifth tier going to the fourth tier. They are not going to be covered in the news. The best sources, of course, are Facebook. They have a Facebook page. They have an Instagram page, which is really just used to announce signings and schedules. It's not really for hearsay or rumors or things like that. 00.pt. 00 is a fantastic source for eventually knowing the squad. Anyone listening to this podcast that's interested in their local club, go to 00.pt and they will have all the information about your club. If they're in the districts, you probably won't get updates until the end of August. But unless you subscribe to the official newspaper, the town newspaper of Arcos, Noticias dos Arcos, getting news on a weekly basis is just not very relevant. And let me explain to you what happened to them a few years ago. They went into, I guess, what we would call bankruptcy. They disappeared. They had financial problems, a lot of money problems. They disappeared. And when the club went into, I guess you call it in England, administration, we call it bankruptcy. I'm not a financial person, but you get the picture. What happened is they couldn't come. That, and if anybody attempted to revive the club, they couldn't do that for 2 years after the bankruptcy, after they closed. And then they came back. They started off in the second division in the districts, made it to the first division. They had been here for 4 to 5 years under the name Athletico dos Arcos. Previously, it was Athletico de Valdevez. They won, like, I think 12, 13 years ago, the third division title when Antonio Caldas, who's one of the RTP pundits of football soccer, when he was the manager. But yeah, they had problems. They did disappear. They went out of business. And then after 2 years, they came back. And finally, they were in the fourth, they were in like the third tier a few years ago, but the bottom, they restructured it to five tiers, and the bottom five tier teams in the third tier were relegated down. And unfortunately, even though Arcos had a halfway decent season, they were relegated because they were the fifth of five teams. And it wasn't until this year that they finally made it up, this time going to the fourth tier. So there's five tiers. They've made it through two in the districts, and now they're heading to the fourth tier. And yeah, that is their story. There's not a lot of news. Feel free to always email me if you want info. And of course, I'll talk about it as well on this podcast. Anyway, folks, big weekend. Who's going to win the Porto election? Who's going to win the Clásico? What stories are we going to hear about Ruben Amorim next week? Second division race is looking very fantastic. And if you're in Portugal, support your local club. And if you don't, support them from afar and learn more about them. I want to encourage you. I'm going to be saying that every week. And let me end it like I always do. Please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your families. And I'll talk to you next week, everybody. Ciao.